All right, my two gentlemen back here, Robert and Louis, if you'll grab the bulletins. If you do not have a bulletin, do this, please. If you do not have a bulletin, do this, please. And if you're not sure if you have a bulletin, ask your spouse. Cliffy, I love you and I need you this morning. So could you bring your Bible and stuff right up here? I was going to use Louie, but I think that would be a path too far for the church. So, all right, everybody got bulletin. We still have one here, Louie, or Robert, right here, at least. Everybody's got a bulletin. By the way, it'll save us a lot of time. There's some verses. It'll just save us time. That's the whole point. If you have a Bible, we're not going to read immediately the verses. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 6. So if you will turn to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. Everybody has a bulletin. Let's stand together, please. This morning, I'm going to cross a divide that I would guess many Christians struggle with. It's the question of forgiveness. There's three main issues of forgiveness in the Bible. There is the first kind of forgiveness. We're going to talk about forgiveness in two kinds, but forgive me. We're going to focus on the second kind. I would rather speak all morning on the first two, on the first kind. But there is one kind, and then there's meaning we have to be forgiven to be saved. Then there is, and I have it in the notes, we'll talk about it, there's a daily forgiveness. But it doesn't save you. And can I say this? No offense. Everybody, no offense. Please do not get angry. If you come from a Catholic background, you are confused about this from the beginning, because Catholicism teaches you you're never really saved in this lifetime. And confession is one of the things you do as you move forward to somehow, maybe, someday, somewhere, somehow get God's favor. No. That's taken in Christ, and we'll look at that. But there is another kind of forgiveness that kind of deals with the family. You know, once you're part of the family of God, you still need to be forgiven. The third part, which we won't talk about, of course, is then those people who are forgiven, say it, those people who are forgiven, forgive. There's really three major issues in the subject of forgiveness. I'm going to touch on the first one. I'm going to preach a sermon this morning on the second one. The third one, we don't have time. Now, to demonstrate for you Christians that after you get saved, forgiveness is still part of what we do. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. It's the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, say you. Now, don't say this as a Catholic or an ex-Catholic. Say this as a Christian. He is already your Father. So you're not trying to attain getting in the family. This assumes you're in the family, yes? Our Father, which art in heaven. You know the text. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It sooner or later is going to get to that verse 12, which says, and forgive us debts, trespasses. Some of you come from a Catholic background. You say different than the King James. Not bad at you. Take a breath. But the point being is, even as a Christian, there's some kind of forgiveness that we need. Okay? But look at me. Not to get saved. Not for God to love you. That happens in Christ, friend. Okay? 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'm not going to turn to these again. I'm going to assume you can write them down and think about this, because this is a thinking sermon. Actually, it's way worse than thinking, and worse, stronger than that. 1 John chapter 1, please, verse 8. Actually, The Apostle John had to deal with a group of people that had blown a church up. Chapter 2, verse 19 says, they went out from us because they were not of us. They were not believers. And one of the dividing marks was this. Verse 8, everybody find it? It says, if, what's the second word? He's saying, if we as Christians, if we say we have no sin, what do we do?
We deceive ourselves.
And the truth is not in us. If we, he's not talking about getting saved. You're already a believer. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friend, please look at me. The day you got saved, you were God's child. That doesn't mean you don't need to clean up once in a while. And you can't clean yourself up. He cleans you. He cleanses you. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, have you ever met a person that says they haven't sinned? If anybody in your church ever says they haven't sinned, let me speak to their spouse. If we say we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. Proverbs 28. Now, folks, you can either turn in your Bible or to the bulletin. Makes no difference. We'll read some other verses when we're seated to introduce the two basic kinds of forgiveness. I call this in my notes forgiveness in two kinds or in two aspects. Proverbs 28:13 is the whole text this morning. But friends, I am trying to lay a foundation so you can think clearly as a Christian as opposed to being in the middle of the mud. Look at me. If you're not a Christian yet this morning, you must be forgiven. But that's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking to believers. And the text says this. She works too. He that covereth his sin shall not what?
Prosper.
Let's translate that from Hebrew into English. You're not going very far in the Christian life. You're not going to be a person that moves forward. We have men here that have taught in universities at university level. You have students that join on board and they just don't advance and they drop out of school after a while. You're going to be one of those people 40 years later is right where you were the day you started. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso?
Confesseth.
Hold it, please. Remember, no offense. If you come from a Roman Catholic background, you may not immediately think of a priest. This is not talking about that. As we'll talk about later, confession in the Bible is what you do to God directly. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall have what?
Mercy.
And also, you're going to prosper. You're going to move. You're going to move forward. So I'm going to briefly introduce the first aspect of forgiveness, though I love to speak on it all day, and then I'm going to talk about the second aspect, forgiveness already being a Christian. Okay? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. May you bless as we look at Scripture and wrestle with our own issues, our own sins, our own difficulties, our own, as we'll learn, idols. Help us, help me, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In your bulletin, and I would recommend you have your bulletin because it has the verses. There seems to be two very distinct, there's actually three, but only two this morning. There is the forgiveness, that's that initial forgiveness. If I was to use a technical word, I would call it legal, meaning it's legal in the sense that when you get forgiven, you become part of God's family legally. You're adopted into his family. That, as I say, to say it another way, it's legal, it's once and forever. It's all sins, past, present, and future. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption. How do we get this redemption? Through his blood. Not blood dropping on you. It's not that. It's the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, once and for all and forever, gave himself on the cross. His blood was shed for our sins. And we have redemption. And then Paul says, I want to explain what I mean by redemption. Redemption, of course, has the idea of paying a price, buying us out of slavery to sin. But beyond that, he says, you know what redemption is? You know what this is? It's the forgiveness of sins. You have it. According to, what's it say? The riches of his grace. This is not something that, oh my goodness, almost, I barely made it. No. When you come to Christ in simple faith, friend, by the blood of Jesus, and according to the riches of his grace, he forgives you. He buys you. You become his child. That's one kind of forgiveness. That's forgiven of all sins, past, present, and future. So look at me. In one sense, if you're a believer, every sin you've ever committed, ever going to commit, was forgiven the moment you trusted Christ. Period. Paul is now preaching in Acts. This is my favorite text. I preached this in this church 10 years ago. I could preach for 45 minutes right now with no notes because this is the greatest text in the Bible in my way of thinking. If you're not a, look at me, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, or you go to a religious thing where you're hoping to get saved, here's the verse. Paul is speaking, and Luke records it. Be it known unto you, talking to Jewish people, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you, what? The forgiveness of sins. There is forgiveness. Forgiveness through this man. Verse 39. And by him, by Christ, all that believe are justified, declared righteous from all things. So there is forgiveness. Forgiveness not, look at me, friend, it does not come from coming to this place or going to any building or having anybody do magical signs. Forgiveness comes through Christ alone. There is forgiveness through this man for all who believe. The moment you come to Christ, trust Christ, he forgives you. And then he goes on to say, verse 39, and by him all that believe are justified from how many things? All things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. My sermon is this. I preached it and could preach it today all day. There is forgiveness. Forgiveness through this man. Forgiveness for all who believe and forgiveness for all sins of which there's no other forgiveness. He forgives them all. That's the first kind. I'm not going to speak any more about it. Friends, please look at me. Then there's a second kind. Once you're saved, you say, do you still sin? Yes. That doesn't mean you have to get saved again. By the way, we're not into this windshield wiper Christianity. I'm saved, I'm not saved. I'm saved, I'm not saved. If you're a good Christian, it's this. I'm saved, I'm not saved. If you're Louis Heras, I'm saved, I'm saved. I mean, some of us sin more than that. By the way, that's a joke. You don't do that. This is not talking about getting saved again. But as a Christian, you still need to be cleansed. It's a family thing. Can I ask you a question? When you children were born, where is my friend Clovis? You don't love that baby, do you? By the way, he sent me some great pictures. Where's that baby at? 27 people have had that baby since you've been here. Probably in the nursery. By the way, that baby is your baby forever, correct? Look at me, everybody. When you're born again, when you're saved, you're part of God's family forever. Now, Clovis, I hate to give you the bad news. The baby's going to have a propensity to do wrong. I'm assuming the baby will get it from your brother, but it gets it from somebody, okay? And guess what? Sooner or later, you're going to have to correct your baby, correct? When the baby does wrong, doesn't mean the baby's not yours. It's just, in a family, there's stuff that happens. Can I say this, friend? The moment you got saved, all sins were forgiven, past, present, and future. You're God's child forever, but you still got to fix things in the family. I call that in your notes a family, a familial. It's that which happens more or less daily, and it deals with what God is teaching us or training us today. So today we're just going to deal with the second aspect of forgiveness, part two, which is this part. Not to get saved, not to become a child of God. You're already that if you're already saved. But what happens after that? Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not what? Everyone look at me. A friend of mine and a friend of a handful of people in this room, he came to this church in 1980. I was a member of this church in 1980. He was a young single sailor. I don't know if he's happy. I'm not sure his wife is happy. But one day I told him, I was right out here in the parking lot when it used to be gravel, and I looked at Jim DeWar and I said, you need to invite that girl out. She's a good woman. Well, I don't know if the invitation was good, but I do know this. They have been married 42 years. But Jim DeWar was in the Navy. He and Marlene got married. They moved away, did some other things. And in 1989, they came back to this church for about 4 or 5 years, from 89 to 94. When I found out he was back here, I called him one time. I was pastoring in St. Louis. And it's just a normal conversation. How you doing, brother? How's the family? He had a ministry. He was really excited about working with sailors. He did a lot of different things. And I started asking, well, how's Mike and Pam? Great. I'd ask him about other people. You know, the normal conversation, the people you love and you care for, how are they doing? By the way, if I was gone for a little while and I call back here, I would say, well, how's so-and-so doing? I would ask it's normal conversation. Not their real names. How's Bill and Rebecca? This is his exact phrase, not proper English. He said, by the way, I hadn't seen them since 1981. This is 1989, 90, 91. These are his exact words. He said, about the same, bad. That was 1990, 91. I've been pastoring here 28 years. I've never seen them. By the way, Bill still lives in this area. They've been divorced for 30 years. Look me in the eyes. They have abandoned the faith, both husband and wife. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Do you believe that? Now, I want to say this because I'm going to have people squirming in a moment. The first two points, you're going to squirm. If you don't squirm, you're not a Christian. Right up front. The second two will actually lead you where I want to go because I think we have a problem. Some of us struggle to tell the truth. In your notes, real simple things. Point number one, the first thing we learn from Proverbs 28:13, and that's all I'm dealing with primarily. Covering sin, or sins, plural, is natural. It's natural. You see, Pastor Warren, what do you mean by natural? Friends, when that baby's born, what's the first thing the doctor does? Well, the very first thing he does is make sure the baby is breathing. Why? That's natural. The second thing he does is wants to know if that baby can cry because they want to really know how the breathing is going. Yeah, because it's what? It's natural. Can I say this to you? And I'm sorry to say this to you. Covering sin or sins is one of the most natural things you will ever do. How do I know that? Because the very first human beings on earth, when they sinned, you can turn there or I will read. Makes no difference. This is just a basic premise. We all must cover our sins. It's what we do naturally. Genesis 3, verse 7 talks about Adam and Eve and after they ate of what God forbid them to eat from. It says, and the eyes of them both, Genesis 3, 7, were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed. I love this. So they knew they were naked, And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves, the King James said, some sort of an apron, which means some sort of a covering. Please look at me. How's that covering coming? He that covereth his sins, what? Shall not prosper. What's the first thing they did? Now, I'll talk about that more. But I want to keep reading it. If you're reading, by the way, it helps you to read this text. It's a powerful text. It says in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They did what? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And by the way, God knew exactly where he was. He wanted Adam to step forth. And in verse 10 it says, where are they? In verse 9, where are you, Adam? In verse 10, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was what? I was afraid of what? Because I'm naked. And by the way, how's that hiding working out? I'm going to ask you a question. For all of you, I'm getting ahead of myself. When I talk about confession, I think many people will miss the point. How many of you think God knows everything about you already? And then I got a second question. Why in the world are you hiding? What would be the point? You know, I still go back to my daughter because she's sinful, of course. I don't know who she gets it from, not me. But I still remember her getting into butter. And why does a child like butter? Yuck. She would take butter, stick it in her mouth, get it all over her face, and I can remember a couple of times Jenny or probably mostly my wife saying, have you been in the butter? What was her answer? No, that's not how a child speaks. A child is this one. No. Well, what's that butter doing on your face? Well, what does he say in verse 10? I was afraid, and because I was naked, I hid myself. Friend, please. Covering sin or sins is the most natural thing you will ever do. It started long before you and long before me, and we've been covering our sins forever. The first point is painless. By the way, what are the things you find in Genesis? The big three. Look up here. Fear, guilt, and shame. And the big three show up right at the beginning. And look at me. And when you are afraid, what do? You hide. When you feel guilty, what do? You hide. When you feel shame or embarrassment, what do? You hide. How did they hide? Well, Adam attempted to hide behind some bushes, and he attempted to make himself a coat of leaves or something. By the way, here's the Lord. This is Adam, by the way. And he's also going to be the sinner later. You want to step over here? You say, because he is, I was going to use Louis Heras, but it's too much. Friends, I'm pretending to be God. Oh, Adam, nice set of clothes. What? Look at me. I find people hiding their whole life. I see people in this room. And by the way, it's because of fear, shame, and guilt, which is the very thing I'm going after. If you're a Christian, fear, shame, and guilt ought not to drive your life. And this is what I see. Husbands and wives. Here's Adam, and here's... We're hiding. We're always hiding behind somebody or something, or some of us just run away. Because God knows, if you run away, nobody will know you have a problem. Adam, nice set of clothes. What are you wearing those for, Adam? God's thinking, I have no idea what he would be hiding from. Thank you. We'll come back to you. You're worse than him, just so you know. Look back in your notes, please. We'll read the text again. Point 2 is the harder point. Forgive me. Please don't hate me too much today. I have said covering sin, or sins, plural, is natural. Do you understand natural? You come by it by nature. It's just what Adam and Eve did, and by my guess, every single person after that has. Proverbs 28:13 again says this, "He or she that covereth his sins shall not prosper." Well, they covered them with fig leaves. They covered them by hiding behind bushes. They covered them by running away. They thought somehow they could hide from God and God wouldn't notice the leaves. Secondly, not only is covering sins is normal, natural, secondly, covering sins is also normal, meaning it's normally what people do. It is the normal process. Now, friends, for the next 5 to 7 minutes, things are going to get tough. Show the first slide, please. John Calvin, one of the great reformers, said this, "The human heart..." By the way, look at me. Do you know what he's talking about, the human heart? He is not referring to the thing that beats in your chest. He's using heart. Lalev in Hebrew, cardia in Greek. He's using it for the center of your being. He said, and he wasn't talking just to pagans, he said the human heart is a factory. You all know what a factory is? A factory produces. It's a factory of idols. Every one of us, from his mother's womb, is expert in inventing idols. Wow. Pastor Warren. The human heart is an idol factory. So the issue is internally hidden, but very basic to who we are. We have a problem with creating idols. Pastor Kwok, if you will come over here, please. And if you will stand up. Pastor Kwok, come over here. Face that way. Cliff, you face that way too. Yes, sir. Step out a little bit. Go close. Step back, 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 back. Like this. Thank you. Step out. Just stay there for one moment. Aren't they very handsome guys? All right. Everyone look at me. What's an idol factory? Please look at me. If I say factory, do you know what I'm talking about? A factory is where something is made or produced. By the way, if it's a good factory, they can produce a lot. He was saying your heart, the center of you, makes a lot of idols. But he wasn't talking about idols like Hindus or Buddhists or Roman Catholics would have that you bow down to and kiss feet and all that stuff. He was talking about ideas, excuses, reasoning, your justifications, your rationalizations. So here is the sinner. Is everybody clear on who the sinner is? This is what 90% of people notice. The sinner, what does the sinner do? He sins. Can you say that? The sinner
sins.
But that's not what we're talking about. Because that's not your problem. Your problem is why the sinner sins. Did you step on him? You guys. By the way, friends, I want this to be humorous because it's too painful. The idol factory precedes the sin. The idol factory is what causes you to sin. The idol factory is what you're not dealing with. The idol factory is what most of us ignore. And there, look at me. And therefore, the sin just keeps going on and on. And everybody notices, oh, did you see? No, you didn't see anything, because the human heart is what drives, don't step on each other, guys, is what drives this forward. It's the human heart and the sinfulness and the idols that is creating that moves forward. Now, gentlemen, you may be seated. Thank you. The next photo, please. Does anybody know what these are? I got to tell a story. how was it, 19, what year was it? Don't know. 2009? Maybe? I had the privilege of going to Kenya to speak. Have you ever been around elephants? They're a beautiful animal at a distance. And they're a magnificent animal. Go ahead and do the second one. That's not a good picture. It's just kind of fuzzy. Next one? That's pretty spectacular, isn't it? Now, here's the thing that's impossible to know unless you've been there. You see those spectacular animals, and are they small animals? Jenny, do you remember when the herd crossed right in front of our car? And they didn't even put up a sign saying stop. They didn't ask permission. They were coming, and the guy that was driving, Joel, just put on the brakes and stopped the SUV we're in, and I mean, they came right in front of us. Do you know what that herd of elephants feels like? It's the weirdest thing. You're in a big SUV, and that herd of elephants feels like the ground is under your feet moving, because it is. Now, friends, what I'm going to do, sorry, is I'm going to give you another analogy of John Calvin. Your heart is an idol factory, but listen, when I speak of idols, when he speaks of idols, look at me, he was not talking about some dumb statue. He was talking about what pushes you to sin. That's what the problem is. Go ahead to the next photo. Would you like to have an elephant in your house? I got a second question. Do you know if you have an elephant in your house? Yes, you do. You know you have an elephant because everybody ignores the elephant. Next photo. It's pretty. Yeah, would you like that in your living room?
No.
That's beautiful, isn't it? Could you imagine waking up one morning and look at it's like, whoa! And my favorite picture, which we'll leave up here for a moment. Can I say this? It is embarrassing to me that there are Christians, their entire life is an elephant in their living room. And everybody in the entire family knows the elephant's there. They know there's something causing them to sin, and nobody's dealt with it, because covering sin is not only natural, meaning we come by it naturally, it's normal. It's what people do. So therefore, nothing ever changes. Gentlemen, may I borrow you again? Come on back up. About the same position, please. I don't trust these two guys. It's the reason I didn't have Louie here. I couldn't trust him at all. I want to say this to you. It's normal to cover sins because sins might be, look at me, embarrassing. Your sins also might be useful for people to harm you. Your sins also might be, I'm using a strange English, fodder, food for gossip. And I want to say this to all of you that fear people are going to gossip about you. They already are. Get over it. But here's my big problem. You're looking out here. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about here. Because back here, the heart is what causes the sinner to keep sinning. So, you don't mind staying there for a minute, guys? So you find someone, by the way, I saw it last night. I'm going to say some painful things. You don't have to like them. They're obvious symptoms. By the way, they're not this drive. They're the thing out front. Someone that's constantly talking. Gambling. Running. Drinking. Worrying, the person that has to have constant noise, the person that's constantly avoiding, the person that either is constantly being entertained or feels like I must entertain other people, because God knows 1 second of silence and the truth will be known, just tells me this isn't the problem. This guy is a sinner. We're born this way. But the issue is the human heart. The center of the idolatry, look at me, The problem is there's an elephant driving the whole thing, and you haven't dealt with the elephant. And after a while, here's the thing. You just start seeing the same behavior over and over and over and over. You keep seeing this out here, and this out here is not the problem. This back here is the problem. Why do you think the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the things, that's where life comes from. Thank you, gentlemen. I'm going to say them again. See if you recognize any of them. Constantly talking, constantly drinking, constantly gambling, constantly hiding, constantly running, constantly worrying, constantly joking. Do you know the scariest people on earth are people that cannot not tell a joke? I love humor. I don't mind a joke. Humor's wonderful. But have you ever met a Robin Williams? First time I saw that comedian on TV, my response was two. Number one, brilliant. And number two, are you listening? This was my first response to him. Who is he? And this is what I know. Almost nobody on earth ever found out who he was because the joke was the symptom of something dark in the heart. There are people that if there's a second of silence, they have to fill the silence with joking and talking. And they think a guy like me is stupid and doesn't know the problem. So I want to say this, Tom or whoever's up here, that's going to stay on to the end of the sermon. I'm tired of your family dealing with the elephant in the living room. It's time today for you to deal with the elephant. You say, but I'm going to heaven. By the way, I hope most of you are. But you're making life hell on earth for many people because you're just avoiding the elephant for a lifetime. Wow. I'm coming to myself now, so you're off the hook for the rest of the sermon. Number three, look in your notes, please. I have said covering sins is natural, meaning comes from Adam and Eve. It is also normal. It's what we do to avoid embarrassment. It's what we do to avoid being the fodder for gossip. It's what we do so people can't have things to use against us. I got it. But the problem is, he or she that covereth his sins shall not prosper. That's the problem. Well, number three, uncovering sins by both confessing and forsaking, not confessing to somebody, but to yourself and God, I'll get to, is necessary. It is necessary to deal with confessing, not just that you're doing wrong out front, but recognizing you have idols in your heart, or if I can say it another way, you have an elephant in your heart. And friend, until you, Scripture, God, truth, comes to grips, you can't prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have, what's that word? Mercy, which also means you will then start prospering, moving forward in life. It seems simple. So uncovering sins is necessary. Let me say it again. Only by confessing and forsaking can we receive things like prosperity, meaning we can move forward. My wife will remember this not by the event, but by the outcome. I was in Bible college. I was a kid. I was 24, 5, or 6, probably 6. I was on a bus route with kids. One of the jobs was to keep the kids entertained. Listen, I would rather think about heavy ideas than I would entertain children. But I can do a little bit. So that day, it was my job to entertain the kids by leading in songs and goofing off. Kids were in their seats, and I was running up and down the aisles, getting the kids excited, singing, etc. It was the winter time, and it was one of those cold winters in Chicago. I can't remember. Was it 82, 83 when we had 26 below? It was just a miserable winter. There was like 2 weeks in a row, one of those years, we never got above zero during the day. That's what I remember. I had a big parka on. We were on the bus coming through Chicago, and I was goofing off, and I took off running from the back of the bus to the front of the bus until I wasn't running any longer. All of a sudden, I'm like this, and I hear this terrible ripping sound, and I am stopped dead. My coat had somehow connected or hooked on the seat, and I couldn't get it to do that if I tried, and my coat had caught me. Look me in the eyes. When you realize something keeps you right where you have been for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, what do? Well, I just stayed there. I'm still on that bus. I had to back up, undo my coat, and it had a rip. I mean, it had a massive rip. My wife sewed it up. It looked like I was a poor person after that, homeless. If I hadn't have done what? Backed up and disentangled, I would still be on that bus today. Can I say this to you? There has to come a time when you say, it's necessary for me to uncover, confess, forsake. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There has to be a time when I uncover how about this? Your fear, your guilt, your shame. You've got to uncover that mess. Because at that point, the point you uncover this, and it is necessary to do so, you start to prosper because you can then move ahead. But if you're stuck in the past, you can't move ahead. We can then obtain mercy. We can then be forgiven. We can then be cleansed. We can be cleaned up. November 23rd, 1975. It means nothing to anyone in this room outside of me. It is an unbelievably important day in my life. So, Christians, are you here? I grew up, I got saved at 9 years old as a boy in the country. I was a typical boy. Church, I didn't mind going to church. I liked the people there, I liked the singing, but did I grow as a Christian? So guys, I see a bunch of single guys. I love you. Trust me, you've never been any place I haven't been, and I've been more stupid than I hope you ever are. Between 7th and 8th grade, I had a cousin that took interest in me. Now remember, this was the heated era of the hippie era. My cousin played bass guitar in a major international rock band. First time I met him, he drove in on a 1200 Harley. This was in the late 60s, early 70s. A 1200 Harley, hair to the middle of his back, with a beautiful girl on the back of that Harley. I had never met him. He was a third cousin. He walked right up to me, and he took interest in me. And for the next 6 months, he took personal interest in me. And he bought into, can you see what's up here? He touched on my elephant. Forgive me for saying this. Between 7th and 8th grade was the first time I ever did something stupid. I was a kid. You say, what did you do? I smoked pot with my cousin. You say, why? I wanted everything he had. I wanted to play in a rock band. For some of you out here, you want to be an influencer. Do you understand why that really doesn't interest me much? Because that tells me something is wrong. I smoked pot. I drank wine. And from that moment on, I was like living two separate lives all the way through high school. Boy, I was an idiot. I knew who the Christians were. I knew what it meant to be saved. But then I lived as an idiot. You say, what's the worst you did? A lot of bad things, mainly drinking and smoking pot. Never did any hard drugs. Thank God. God preserved me from that. But can I say this? I'm only alive, Mike Rock. Didn't you say one time that God saved you twice before you were saved and when you got saved, right? He saved you in Vietnam. You could have been dead easily. A person you were with was dead that moment. Well, I got saved, and then God saved me from real stupidity. But he had to take me down some tough spots. Listen, listen, listen. Because I'm trying to get at some people that are playing around for a lifetime with a stinking elephant. And I'm tired of the elephant. I'm really tired of the elephant. By the way, the elephant's not an elephant. The elephant is this. Well, that's just the way I am. It's the lie you tell the moment anybody confronts you're stupid. Because it's getting back not to the sin or you, it's getting back to your precious idol. That's just the way I am. Well, I'm not very smart. I have never found a verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt be smart in order to grow as a Christian. I mean, the excuse, by the way, your excuses are your idols. Your excuses are your elephants. Well, I'm going to go back to my story. No, I'm not going to tell you all the details. Trust me, I won't. I would, almost nobody on life knows the details. November 23rd, 1975, I'm right here at Great Lakes Naval Base. And that was the last time I have ever touched a drop of alcohol or smoked marijuana. God brought me to a place. It was a fork in the road. It was either go to hell, just about literally, self-destruct, or go a different way. And God, by his grace, led me a different way. But hold on. I still didn't get to the problems. Tim, guys, I still wasn't at the problem because I wasn't dealing with the elephant. Do you know what the elephant was? I'm sorry, Billy Baptist. The elephant wasn't smoking Cools or Marlboros. That's just stupid. The elephant really wasn't drinking beer. The elephant wasn't smoking pot. I didn't know what the problem was. I swore to God that I would never drink or do pot again, and I have not. It's almost been 50 years. And I can tell you this. I mean, I have zero interest. It wasn't until the following June or July that I figured out what the elephant was. What's the elephant? It's what's causing you to do this. You know what the elephant was? Thank you, gentlemen. The elephant was I had a drivenness to be accepted, to fit in, and to be cool. Look at me. That summer, June or July, I forget now, I drove back to Southern Illinois by myself in my Volkswagen Rabbit, and I drove all the way home. Look at me. It was 19 hours drive by myself, and the whole time I'm in unbelievable turmoil. Do you know why? Because I was afraid I would go back to drinking. Why was I afraid I was going to go back to drinking? Because I'm going home to be with my old friends. The elephant in my life was my desire to please people. When God broke me of that other stuff, 90% of it is gone. So here's the problem. If you're an OCD control freak, your problem is not that behavior, it's the fear behind it. If you're driven by guilt, fear, by the way, you're going to have to figure out what the idols are. And here's the good news for you. I'm not going to tell you. It's not my job. He or she that covereth his or her sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You're a Christian, I'm happy. But if you find yourself always doing what? Going right back to where you were. There's an elephant here. Can I say John Calvin? There's some idols here. And your idols can be, and I've heard them so much, I wonder why you don't catch yourself. Well, that's just the way I am. Well, you know how he is. Obedience doesn't, there is nothing in the Bible that has, well, that's just the way you are, or you know how he is. The Bible doesn't let you off the hook or me off the hook. You've got to come to the place where you realize you've got to uncover that filth, or you will keep, it'll just be, it's just like, by the way, have you ever done the same thing two or three times in a row? Have you ever been to a place where you stubbed your toe on the same thing 12 times? You know the old statement. You know, you fool me once, shame on me. Excuse me, shame on you. Fool me twice? What if I fool you 400 times? What do you have? Look at me. There's an idol here. Yes or no? Can I say this? That idol shows up every place. My wife constantly asks me about not eating certain foods. There's one difference between me and some people in this room. I don't lie to myself like that. Why? Look at me. If I'm going to eat chocolate, I'm going to eat chocolate. I'm not going to act like I don't. Why do we lie? You know why we lie? Because that is the elephant that pushes the engine. And the problem is, hear me, friend, we never prosper and we never obtain mercy. We just get stuck. So here's the text. He that covereth, or she that covereth his or her sins, shall not prosper. Covering sins is natural. We get it from Adam. Covering sins is normal. We do it to protect ourselves. We don't want people to know. No one's going to notice that you have the fig leaves on. No one's going to see them. Uncovering sins is necessary. We come to the last point. And by the way, the last point's good. At least it's good to me. It's more than good to me. Look back up at the text. It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I would like you to turn to another text. Would you please, Psalm 15, verse 2? Psalm 15, verse 2. Can I ask you a question? Is you ever wake up one day and realize what you're really doing? I thought about writing this sermon and adding things more recent in my life. But I can promise you this. In the last 6 months, I have learned, look at me, everyone, I have learned something horrific about the man you're looking at. There is an element of an idol that I've held on to, half of it ignorantly, not knowing what it was, and half of it arrogantly. And that idol has caused great pain in my life. This is not a joke. And if you listen to yourself, you already know what the idols are. Because you're going to talk about them, and every time somebody says anything, it's going to boom right out of your mouth. Every time. So it's not the sin that's your problem, it's that thing in you. Now there's some really good news. Are you all listening? This has been a hard sermon to hear. It's hard for me to preach, but this is the good news. Can I give you the good news? And please hear me again. Remember, no offense. No one's going to get angry. If you come from a Roman Catholic background, you're going to have to think biblically now. Because the moment I say confession, you have a whole world that has nothing to do with the Bible. Not mad at you, it just doesn't. Psalm 15. Would you look there, please? Psalm 15 and verse 2. Psalm 15 and verse 2. I'm not going to read the whole psalm because of time. I told lovely Linda I would be done at 12:30 and it's going to be close. Close, Linda. Verse 2. It talks about the man who God accepts and loves and honors, and it says in verse 2, he or she that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and here it is, and speaketh the truth where? Where? All right, gentlemen, can you line up again? Everyone look at me. We're almost done. The lie that you're telling that keeps you sinning, look at me, is not the lie you're telling other people only. It's the lie. And by the way, you don't have to pray about it. Do you ever listen to people? They will constantly excuse their behavior. The problem is, yes, drinking is bad. Drunkenness is horrible. Yes, drugs are bad. Gambling, we can list. But the sinner sins. But the heart is where the sins come from. So here's the 4 points. Covering sin is natural. You get it from Adam. It's normal. You don't want people to know. Look at me. No one notices your stupidity. Thirdly, uncovering sin is necessary. if you want to move forward, because if Pastor Kowak tries to move forward, I'm always pulling him back. It gives you prosperity in the biblical sense. It gives you mercy. It cleanses you. You'll be cleansed. But the fourth point is this. Gentlemen, thank you. And this is where we conclude, and this is the good news, and it's the best part of the sermon. Uncovering sins. Notice carefully what I say. To self, and who else?
God.
Is all that is needed. Hey, look at me. You don't have to tell everybody your sins. There's only two people you have to talk to. Look at me in the eyes. Two people. Don't come to me. I'm not your priest. If you're saved, you are a priest. There's only two people you need to talk to. And forgive me. Don't be religious. You don't talk to God first. You first of all have to talk to
yourself.
Because until you can speak the truth where? In your heart, you can't speak the truth to God. Here's the good news. My friends, God can change your life. The moment you start reckoning with your sinfulness, I'm not talking to get saved. I'm talking to move forward in life. And here's the beautiful part. You don't have to share things with everybody. You just have to share the truth with. That's it. You say, do you ever talk to somebody else? Yes. As necessary, maybe I need to talk to somebody, or in some cases, because I need help. But other than that, confession is not about you talking to a priest or a Baptist pastor. It's about you talking to the Lord, but first of all, talking to yourself. He speaketh the truth in his heart. And therefore, to the Lord, and this is what happens. Can I tell you this? Once I wrestled with, I was a people pleaser. And once God broke me of that, a whole bunch of things just immediately went away. You say, were there any other idols? Forgive me. John Calvin said the human heart is a factory. You find out there's some others you didn't know about. But can I tell you the good news? God can cleanse you, forgive you, allow you to move forward, walking with him. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my ways. And I might be misquoting because I'm trying to go too fast. And you know, but the whole point is, this is between you and God. Look at me. Go forward, spending time with the Lord. Quit acting. Hey. If I see that elephant in your living room again, you understand what that does to me? What do you think God thinks? You've been holding on to that elephant for 3 decades. Why? Come to the Lord. Tell the truth to yourself. Let him give you mercy. Let him cleanse you. Let him allow you to move on your way for Christ and for good. Don't be held back. Don't be one of these people that's always covering things up. Hey, because nobody, Adam, notices the fig leaves. Really? Mercy. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to our lives today. My heart's desire is that all of us start coming to grips, not just with our sins, though that is important, because the moment we really start dealing with our sins, we'll have to deal with the idols, because the idols are what feeds the sin. We're going to have to deal with the elephants, and we might find we have more than one. We might find we have a herd, but by your grace, by your truth, by your word, and by that beautiful self-reflection, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my ways, see if there be any wicked way in me, anything wicked, and lead me in the way everlasting. What a beautiful way to live. Speak this morning, I ask, in Christ's name.